now listening to The Social Scene with your host, Jay-Z.
Welcome back to The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. Today, I'm so excited to have a fabulous, talented singer and songwriter from Nashville, William Davenport, who is on the line. How are you, William? It's so nice to have you today.
Hey, I'm good. Hey, Jackie, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Of course. So I'm so excited to talk all about your background. And, you know, of course, we're going to play one of your fabulous songs during commercial breaks. So everybody get excited for that.
Okay.
So in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about your background. So you're originally from Georgia, right?
That's correct. I am. Decatur, Georgia, maybe like 10 minutes outside of Atlanta.
Nice. And then, you know, obviously you pursued your dreams and relocated to Nashville. How was the transition for you?
The transition was relatively smooth because I actually came up to Nashville to get a degree in architectural engineering at Tennessee State University. Right around 4 years, I ended up switching my major over to commercial guitar. It's commercial jazz guitar. My dad was livid. But, you know, it's just because he doesn't understand all the music world and how you can make moves and make money and have a career out of it, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, so it was a smooth transition because I went up there for one thing. And then once I got here, I saw all the other opportunities and I took it and I just ran with it and I've been running with it.
Good for you. So, I mean, obviously, yeah. You know, on your website, you have all updates about upcoming concerts and shows you're doing. So how often do you say you do shows?
I do shows pretty often. I was actually doing the kind of maybe a club circuit, if you want to call it, where I was playing maybe three nights a week, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday deal, where I'm playing at like a BB King's or I'm playing at a Hard Rock Cafe and I'm in the house band. So I did that for like 2 or 3 years. And then I branched off and that's kind of where I've gotten now, where I've been opening for Andy Irie. I opened up for Laura Isabor, Chrisette Michelle, Charlie Wilson, and I've just been traveling from Oakland, L.A., Texas, to Memphis, to Atlanta, up to New York, just back and forth through that little circuit and kind of building fan base and just doing little shows. And so I try to get a good one in maybe 2 or 3 times a month where I'll actually do one of those shows in a different city.
That's so awesome. You're a real go-getter, you know, for all the singers and songwriters that actually listen. Like, it's really inspiring to hear somebody that, you know, has gone after their dreams and really is making something of it. So good for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So let's talk about this award that you won.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily an award. They just had a talent search in Nashville. They were looking for some new artists. Maybe had like 4,000 or 5,000 people came out and I ended up winning it. And the prize was kind of just a demo type deal, but it felt really good to win that.
That's a big deal. That is totally
a
big deal.
Right? I felt like the man. The following year, I did the same thing again with Compound. Compound is another label that had one in Atlanta, and that's Neo's label. And I did the same thing, and I ended up winning with another guy named David Brown. So, but I just kind of got on with that one as a songwriter, not really him trying to put me out as an artist.
Right. So. And you kind of wanted both, right? I'm assuming.
I wanted it all.
Yeah.
I did. I think I've even had opportunities to do some plays, and I kind of just pushed all these other opportunities out of the way because I wanted to do music. And I kind of regret it, but I kind of am proud of myself for staying so, you know, tunnel visioned and going straight after what I really want.
I think that's totally the right thing to do because sometimes when your mind's in a lot of different places, you almost lose focus and you can't take one thing and do it right. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's a much longer process for you to learn to play 5 instruments at the same time than for you to just sit down and just really learn how to play the guitar.
Right. So let's talk about this guitar stuff. How did you learn how to do it?
I learned because I started off in grade school, right around 5th grade, I started playing the viola. It's like a little bit bigger than the violin.
It sits on the floor,
my
right?
Mom, I was like,
"Did the viola?"
No, that's the cello. That's the cello. The viola is still wedged in between your head and neck, shoulder region. I was like, "Mom, I really want to play the guitar," and she was like, "Okay," and she went to the store and came back with the violin. I was like, "What is this?" And then she was like, "It's not a violin; it's a viola." And I took that for a few years, And then I started playing piano. But when I got to Nashville, none of the clubs or none of the locations here in Nashville have just pianos in them. They do in Atlanta, but they don't here.
Really?
So, yeah. So I was like, what am I going to do? And I just noticed that every single person around Nashville seemed to have a guitar on the back. And that's what they do. They pretty much every establishment is ready to plug and play for a singer-songwriter guitar situations, but not so much as piano or keyboards.
That's so interesting. I mean, I've never been to Nashville. That's a place like on my bucket list, but that's really interesting that
they don't have
the
come
setup.
Come on right now.
I know, right?
Put the microphone down.
Yeah, right? I'll catch on the next flight. I'll see you in about an hour. So what are some, how do you come up with the words for your songs? You know, every songwriter has their own technique. So what's yours?
Yeah, I actually kind of just really go for it. But when I wanted to make sure that I was writing songs that were worth something, I actually read Bob Dylan's book. And he talked about some of the key things that you want to have in songs. And I won't really go into detail or deep into it, because then everybody will be writing better songs than me. Some of the things that he said were that you have to have your tangibles in there, and then you have to really just allow your song just communicate straight off the page. So every song that I write, I try to put colors and imagery all in there, and then I also try to make sure that you can take the words straight off the piece of paper and you could read it just like you would if you were talking to a person.
Right.
You
know? So it's like you're picturing the visual image as well, right?
You have to, I can say to you, hey, Jackie Z, you broke my heart. Or I could say, Jackie, you're pulling at my heartstrings. And the difference in those things is just that now you can visually see.
Totally.
Like you're on a harp, and it's a tangible now.
Right.
Breaking my heart is not a tangible thing. But when I say you're pulling at my heartstrings, you know, you're making wounds the size of glaciers or craters, because a glacier's not a wound. But
yeah, really interesting comparison, because you can totally picture the difference of the imaging. Even just, it's pretty much similar, but just the wording sounds different.
Yeah. So it's poetically speaking, but at the same time, I want it to be able to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So in every song that you'll hear of mine, you'll notice that you could take the music away, you could take the melody away, and you could take those words and you could say it directly to another human being and it would make perfect sense.
Right.
You know, it's not just a bunch of words that just are just thrown on the page and you call it a song. It's their actual sentences. And a lot of songwriters don't do that.
Yeah, I like your thought process through that. That's very interesting. So everybody, we are going to listen to Don't Let Go. We're going to go on commercial break and we'll be back in a few minutes. I hope you enjoy it.
Go. claw and scratch my way back to you, baby. And to get attached to a copy of you, baby. Won't stop around. Please wait before you leave. Don't stop, baby. Please sit down, take my hand, and hear me, I'm screaming. Before you pack your bags and leave, can you honestly say your life is better without me? If not, please stop, turn around, say wait before you leave. Stop, turn around, take my
Welcome back. I hope everybody enjoyed Don't Let Go by William Davenport.
Hey.
So Will's back on the line and we are now
I'm still here.
I know. We're now going to discuss, you know, Will's inspirations. So who would you say inspired you to pursue music?
This probably is going to sound so cheesy and so cliche, but it's my grandma, my late grandmother. She passed away maybe 5 years ago, but she used to always give me such a hard time. She was like, why are you pretending like you don't want to sing? Why are you pretending like you don't want to be a star? Why are you pretending? She used to always say that to me because I was like, well, I don't have to sing. I could be an engineer like my dad. You know, she was like, you got to live for you. So she was a big part of that. But when it comes to artists and what kind of fuels me now, like, I'm so fueled by the crowd. Like, you'd be astonished at the amount of how powerful you feel on stage when you can manipulate people's emotions, when you can make them sit at the edge of their seat, when you can hold a note and they're wondering if you're going to run out of breath.
Right.
Or you can just play the guitar and you can make that guitar just cry and the crowd is just overwhelmed with sympathy because you're singing the saddest song. So that's such a big inspiration because, you know, so often you have, self engulfed individuals that say, you know, I do music for me, but music is so powerful that it can never really ever be for one person. So if you're not fueled by the people in front of you, you're never going to be satisfied.
It's so true. You want them to feel like what you're feeling, right? Isn't that the point, to get them engaged, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
There's really no other reason to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I do like, you know, I like the old school music because my dad is and to this day still a pastor. So he was a bishop, and I wasn't going to be, you know, in my room with Tupac cranked up or Biggie Smalls it just wasn't going to happen. But I did get a chance to listen to like Boyz II Men, Take Six. I got to listen to Earth, Wind & Fire and Frankie Beverly and Maze. And I got to hear those guys sing. And it really helped me to develop my sound, soulful sound, but I just in love with the guitar. So I was able to grow up listening to John Mayer too, because that stuff didn't really, it didn't sound as violent.
Right.
It wasn't like the recipe. It wasn't the recipe for a drug deal. So it was like, hey, I'll let you listen to this. We're not talking about cooking cocaine, you know? So it was basically something that my dad was okay with, you know? So, that was kind of what all those real musicians and Aretha Franklins and all that, they really pushed me to become who I am today.
Yeah, well, they're like living legends. I mean, I love all of those artists that you said. I listen to old school, new school. Really? I didn't know all of them were.
Yeah, like if you can name anybody whose songs were created probably back in like the 50s or 60s that are on the radio today, I guarantee probably like 90% of them wrote their own song.
Wow.
And that speaks volumes, because it's like, if you want your stuff to be legendary, you pretty much have to be the one that wrote it.
Yeah,
you
that
know,
makes
they play,
complete
they play
sense.
Bob Dylan stuff. Yeah, come on now. You know, the Rolling Stones, all these guys wrote their own songs and put their own songs together.
Right.
They were artists, you know?
So is that like, I mean, obviously, because I'm not in that field, is that what an artist is? They're a combination of all of those things?
I have my own opinion. People look at it differently. Mm-hmm. But I think you're an artist when you create the music. You know, just like you're an artist when you draw your drawing. But you're a painter when you just take paint and slather it on. So if I'm an artist, I would make my songs. I would put the emotion, and I would help formulate the music and all of those things. But if I was just a singer, maybe like Whitney Houston, I would just be singing, and you'd have, you know, somebody else writing the music for you.
Right. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I'm glad you clarified, because, you know, that's something that I never fully understood. So thanks for the clarification.
Well, that's my own opinion, so don't go taking that to the bank.
No, I know. Everyone has their own opinions. I just, that makes a lot of
right.
sense to me. I mean, it completely does. Because when you're a singer, yeah. it's true. Like, not every singer is a songwriter. Not every, you know, not every songwriter is a singer. You know, it's a lot of different
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it doesn't take anything away from singers. I feel like you still have to have talent.
Totally.
But when you're an artist, it's a lot harder for you to be a puppet for people to input their emotions in you, because you have so many emotions already inside of you that you want to share.
Right. Well, I was also going to say, it's like The Voice. I mean, so many people on The Voice, I don't know if you've ever watched it, but they sing songs that mm-hmm. are already out there, and it's all about their voice, you know?
Yeah. 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 You think of Pink. Like Pink, they tried to pretty much have Pink be a singer. You know, her first album was like, kind of like, you know, it was kind of something that somebody else put out there for her. But when Pink had the opportunity and she said, hey, I have to be myself. I have too much inside of me that I need to let out. I have to become an artist. And Pink stepped outside the box, and that's how you got the rock, grungy Pink when you didn't have that at first.
Right.
You know?
That makes complete sense. I actually never knew that, but now I like seeing the difference between her first and most recent album, that completely makes sense.
Oh, yeah, her second album and everything else was, I think it was her. She stepped outside the box and just was like, I have to do me.
Really cool. So what are some goals you have for yourself? What do you think you want to do? Where do you see yourself over the next 5 years?
The next 5 years? Wow. It's kind of thrown off, because my internal timeline was so wrong. Like, I had told God what he was supposed to do. Over the time, I was like, God, this is how it's going to go. So I'm kind of thrown a little bit, because I'm a little bit behind in where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But in the next 5 years, I definitely plan to have my sound completely out there, and for my name to be a household name, at least for a few neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pretty much have some radio play, and really begin to develop a brand for myself.
Right. Why not?
So that's right. Come on now. Yeah. Right. That has to happen.
The sky and beyond is the limit when you want it to be, right?
Yeah. So one goal at a time. My first goal is to actually get some serious financial backing.
Right.
To my vision. And once that happens, you know, it's basically the sky is the limit.
Right.
Because I feel like I have the words. I feel like I have the drive. I feel like I'm motivated. I just need somebody that has financial capital to
right.
believe in me the same way I believe in myself mm-hmm. and trust that I'm going to go eons from where I am now.
Yeah, so. You'll totally get there, Will. I think you're awesome, and I think you'll go big places.
Thank you. You're making me feel real good right now.
Yeah, no problem. I really, truly mean that. I really like your music, and I think you're going to do big things. So good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you're
course.
Doing big things as well.
Yeah.
I'm liking what you have going on. I'm happy you're having me here today.
Yeah, so. Thank you. It's been such a pleasure. So let's discuss, you know, how everybody can follow you on all your social media, YouTube. Talk away.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. If you want to get that 15-second fix, that's going to be on Instagram. you can follow me at William Davenport. Okay, cool. Now, you can't friend request me on Facebook. I'm maxed out, but I do have artist page. So if you go to facebook.com/WilliamDavenportArtist, you'll be right where you need to be.
Perfect.
Okay? You hear me? Now, if you're looking to just see what I want to say about the world, you know, if I saw a rainbow, what I ate, if you want to hear me talk about some political things, if you just want to see words and don't want to see my face, that will be Twitter. And that's going to be at Will Davenport. So you have those handles, Instagram, at William Davenport, Twitter, at Will Davenport, Facebook.com/William Davenport Artist, and you'll be right where you need to be.
Perfect.
So go ahead and get there now.
Yeah,
can, right?
Get there now. I really liked how you gave all the descriptions. That was great. That made me laugh.
Oh, that's cool.
And then what about YouTube?
My YouTube channel is William Davenport Artist.
All right, perfect. I just Google you and everybody will find everything
right.
you need, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. And then, you know, one more thing before we close out, let's talk about your upcoming shows because I have listeners from all over the country. So let's talk about, you know, where are your upcoming shows?
Oh, okay. Now, see, sadly, I didn't mention Kentucky earlier, but I go to Kentucky as well and I'll be there next week.
Nice.
I'll be in Lexington. Next week for an all-white party. So it's kind of like an 8 p.m. thing. If you go to that Instagram, and matter of fact, I want you to go to that Instagram, and you will see the picture of the flyer. And you, if you're in Lexington, the Lexington, Kentucky area, you can be a part of that.
Perfect. So is that the next one? Is there one anywhere else coming up over the next, like, 2 weeks?
Well, that's actually going to be next Friday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This coming, yeah, July is like right here.
I know. It's crazy.
Jackie, what's going on? What are you doing? Your life is passing you by. Like, I'm this weekend, I'm doing something private for an engagement party. So hopefully she says yes.
Aww.
And yeah, right.
See,
we
can hire you for private events. That's awesome.
Yes, you can hire me for private events, and you can contact me through all those social media outlets.
Perfect. And then also, you know, I know your website, but tell our audience your website so they can check you out.
The website is www.iamwilliamdavenport.com.
Perfect. Awesome. All right, everybody, make sure to check Will out and, you know, book him. Now we know he's available for private events as well, which is very cool. And, you know, look on his website to see his upcoming tours and where he will be. And I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Will. It was awesome.
No, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Of course. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning into The Social Scene with Jay-Z at Jay-Z Social Enterprises. And stay tuned till next time.
On The Social Scene, The Social Scene,
we promote and tell you what's trending now
with Jay-Z.